Why don't you open the two places, and I'm going to do something. I'm going to read a lot this morning, but I'm not just going to read anything. I'm going to read Scripture to you this morning. Last week, we did focus, and our focus was on heaven. Everybody loves to hear about heaven, because heaven is going to be an exciting place where God has things for us to do based on the skills and based on the gifts that we have. We're going to be serving, we're going to be working, we're going to be worshiping in heaven. Heaven is going to be absolutely exciting. But how many of you know we can't talk about heaven without also talking about hell? And so this morning, I want to talk to you and spend a few moments doing a lot of reading, because I believe Scripture itself speaks so clearly. Again, here's what you have to realize. When it comes to messages that Jesus preached in the New Testament, he didn't preach about worship a lot. He didn't preach about heaven a lot. But let me tell you what Jesus did preach a lot about. Hell. More than any other topic, Jesus taught on hell. And so I believe this morning we can encourage ourselves as we read these scriptures and understand. And here's what people try to tell you. There is no right or wrong. There's just this gray area that we live in. That's what we hear all the time. There's a gray area that we live in. And there's really no right or wrong. Well, how many of you know if there's no right or wrong, then there are no consequences for your actions? And if there's no consequences, then everybody gets a free ride. And everybody goes to heaven. But the truth is, not everyone is going to heaven. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, we thank you for your heart and your passion when it comes to serving you. Lord, that our lives were made for a purpose, to serve you, to glorify you. And Father, we thank you this morning as we open the word of the Lord. I thank you that our hearts now will receive and be open to this. Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of God shall be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. How many of you know what the oil represents in the Bible? It's the Holy Spirit. They took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels and in their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but rather go to the house of those who sell and buy for yourselves." Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in and went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. I want you to see the finality of this. The door was shut. The Lord said, "It is no longer any more guests are allowed in." And afterwards, other virgins also came, saying, and I want you to see this because we're going to see this again later in Scripture. They said, "Lord, Lord, open to us. Lord, open the door for us." But the bridegroom answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you." Verse 13, "Watch therefore." Everyone say watch. Watch. Watching and waiting. That's what we're doing, church. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." It's interesting to me. All the time you see out there, and of course there were books written earlier on, about a decade or so, on why Jesus was coming in this year. How many of you remember seeing those books that were publicized going 88 or 109, so many reasons why Jesus was coming in this year? And then the next year they wrote another book said so many reasons why he didn't come. No man knows the hour. No man knows the day, no man knows the time, but we're told to watch and to wait. I believe the Lord has delayed his coming for us a chance to gather more souls into the kingdom. I believe that with all my heart, that we're given some more time to work the harvest, to see those souls come in. Jesus goes on in the next verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven again is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And he gave to one five, two, and another one, according to their own ability." And we know the story. The bridegroom again, or the master, went away. He was delayed. Everyone say he was delayed. And he expected of his servants to do something with those talents that he gave them. He expected them to make use of what God had given them. Church, I believe that the Lord today is expecting of us great things and big things. As we're going to read at the end of our message today, to whom much is given, much is required. And we have to take that which is God has given us. And a few years ago, I preached a message on this, and I was so just overwhelmed by the thought that, you know, some of us have been given big liters of living water to pour out. We've been given 5 liters of it at a time. We've been given more talents, more gifts. You listen to Mark. You heard Marcus this morning lead, and I watched over him. You have been blessed with many talents, my friend. You have been given a 10-liter bottle full of living water. But those of us who have only been given this much of our gifts and talents, is there any restrictions on how many times we can dump this out and get it refilled? No. There's no restrictions at all at how many times. If I've only been given this much talent and this much living water, you know what? I can take this, pour it out, come back and get some more and go pour it on some more people. Amen? So it's not really that big of a limitation if we're not one of those that's gifted with the ultra-sized giftings that some people have. And he comes back, and then notice what he says in verse 20. And he's talking about the man who only had one. He said, "Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And then notice what he says about this servant. "And take the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." And we're going to see this today, that one of the things that we know about hell is, just as is heaven is filled with the light of the Lamb of God, hell is filled with darkness, and that there are levels of darkness. "Cast the unprofitable servant into" where? "Outer darkness. For there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow, let's continue to read. Verse 31. Jesus is now going to tell the story, and this, I think, really applies and grabbed my heart more than anything this week. "And when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on his throne. And all the nations will gather before him, and he will separate them as one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep," all the sheep said, "from the goats." Sheep from the goats. "And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but he will set the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those who are on the right hand, 'The sheep, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world.'" What did we declare last week? That you have an inheritance reserved for you in heaven. Hallelujah. You have an inheritance reserved for you in heaven. Inherit the kingdom of God, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And notice his reasonings behind this. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." You lived a life that was not your own, and you lived it with eyes that were looking out on those around you. That's the truth of what he's saying here, isn't it? You began to respond to need. You didn't just walk by, but church, you took into your hand and you said, I can do something about this. I love watching the pictures of Pastor Sam and different churches that go down and they're doing water wells. Randall's dug a few water wells, haven't you, Randall? It's work, isn't it? But the reward is great for these communities that don't. Again, one of the greatest needs in the world today is what? Water. Isn't that amazing? And of course, the righteous said, Lord, when did we do all these things for you? And the king answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And so what are we doing here at Living Waters? We're looking for opportunities to feed. Feed them spirit, feed the body, feed the soul. We look for opportunities to go and to minister, to do these things. Now notice the words to the goats. And then he will say to the goats on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. We were never meant to go to hell. Mankind was never meant to go. The plan from the very beginning that hell was created for Satan and his angels. Amen? Never for man. But then he goes on and talks to the goats. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. I was naked and you didn't give me clothes. I was sick and I was in prison, but you never came and visited me. And of course, again, they said, Lord, when do we not do these things? And notice what he says. And assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these goats, everyone say the goats, not the sheep, but the goats. And these goats will go away into everlasting punishment. But the sheep, the righteous, into eternal life. Hallelujah. See, here's what we understand. Here's what we need to understand today. Just because you eat like a sheep, just because you stink like a sheep, just because you walk like a sheep, poop like a sheep, talk like a sheep, doesn't make you a sheep. Just as much as every day if you go into a chicken coop, doesn't make you a chicken. The bottom line, just because every week you go to church doesn't make you a Christian. It's the truth. Pastor loves you this week because I'm preaching this message about the truth to remind us that there is an eternity waiting for those. And hell, as we're going to see, it's not a party. So many people think, I know I'm going to hell. It's just going to be a different type of party. My friend, it is not going to be a party in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So what are some of the things then that we need to understand about when we reach the judgment seat of Christ? Because that's where we'll all stand one day. Scripture says that one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We read in Romans chapter 2. You can just look at it at the screen up here if you want. Romans chapter 2. Verse 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, that means you're not remorse at all. If you have an impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day, amen, in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In the day of judgment, you are storing up for yourselves wrath. How many know scriptures, we're to lay up treasure where? In heaven. That's where we're to be laying our treasure up. I don't want to be laying up any treasure for the day of wrath and revelation at the day of judgment. Now, who will render to every person according to his deeds? Eternal life, that's the sheep, hallelujah, that's us this morning. Eternal life to those by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, that's the goats, amen, and do not obey the truth, but they obey unrighteousness, here is their reward that they've been laying up, indignation and God's wrath. Wow. So as we stand before the judgment seat, and again, as believers, I don't think we have anything to worry about, to be afraid of as we go and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But we will, as Scripture says, we will have to have a reckoning for our deeds. Some people, I've heard it explained, they said, now listen, there's going to be a video player or some type of a player that shows your life that'll flash before you. I don't know how it's all going to happen. Although, all I know is we will stand. So what do we know about hell this morning based on the Scriptures that we've read so far? Hell is a place of wrath, indignation. Hell is a place of torment, a place of punishment, a place of wailing and weeping. And what do we see so many times the world tries to depict hell as? A place where you're down there and then every once in a while the devil comes by with his pitchfork and he gives you a little poke to make your pain a little greater. Can I remind you what hell was created for? For him. He's not going to be bothering you for the sinner who's in hell. He's not going to have his pitchfork out making their life work. No, because he has his own torment. He has his own sentence that the Satan has been given that we're going to read about. He ain't going to be bothering these folks, and the demons aren't going to be bothering folks because they have their own sentence. They have their own punishment in hell. Amen? And as I said before, just as there's no need for light in heaven because of the glory of the Lamb, hell is going to be the exact opposite. It's going to be darkness. It's going to be separation. And isn't this the bottom line of what hell is? Hell is separation from the presence of God. That's true hell. Separation from the presence and the light and the love of God. And again, it's interesting that the darkness that is in hell, there's not just darkness, but then there's outer darkness. We've read one scripture already where it was reserved for some folks, but we read again in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12. It says, but the sons of the kingdom, the sons of the kingdom. Well, who are the sons of the kingdom? That's the Jewish faith. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell was never created for us again. Amen. But here's the truth. Lots of goats who come to church every week, who do the church thing, think that they are safe, who know the truth in their head, but somehow it has never got the truth of God and the love of God and the salvation that God offers has never got from their head down to their hearts. What did he tell the five foolish virgins when they said, Lord, Lord, open the door? His response was, I never knew you. I never knew you. And I think that's the truth that we need to understand this morning. I'm preaching two things. Number one, when we've been given life eternal, it doesn't mean that we can live our lives any way that we want. Number two, when you've been given the promise of life eternal and you have Jesus in your heart, I believe it is very difficult to lose your salvation. It is very difficult. But I've seen it happen. I've seen people slip away from the truth, slip away from the faith. And I believe they'll have to answer to God for their slipping. I believe they'll have to answer to God. And they're the ones that might be in this scripture right here in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 21. Because not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Just like those five foolish virgins did. Just like many of the goats, I'm sure, did. Who cried out and said, Lord, Lord, whoa, we get to see you. But notice what the qualification is to be a child of the kingdom. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, that's the true believer. That's the true child of God, amen? The person who does the will of their Father in heaven and is continually about the will of their Father in heaven. Those are the ones who are doing kingdom business. They're reaching out to the poor. They're reaching out to the destitute. They're the ones visiting the prisons and the hospital. They're the ones doing the work of the Lord and advancing the kingdom. Now notice what this next verse 22 starts off with. Many. Everyone say many. I am so glad we do not read the word most. Many's bad. I don't know if this bothers your heart this morning, but it bothers me as a pastor to hear Jesus say, many. He didn't say most, which that's better, but he still said many. Many will say to me on that day, in the day of the judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? We were in that one of those churches that prophesied. We cast out demons in your name, and we've done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them the same words, the exact same words he told the foolish virgins. I never knew you. And I think, isn't that probably the basis for people who are in the faith and they turned out of the faith quickly? It's because they really never knew him. There was never really a change in their heart that takes place when a person comes to Christ and asks him into their lives as a Savior and Lord. It's just all head knowledge, or it's just all words. It's not a condition of the heart, amen? And that's why I believe, because if you are a true believer and you've asked Jesus into your heart as your Lord and your Savior, I believe it is so difficult to lose your salvation. That just because, and as a little boy, it was one of those things that kind of, this bothered me as a little boy. Because I went to one of those churches that was like that. And Lord, I don't want to have sin in my life, and I'm gonna go to hell just because I have one sin in my life. How many know God doesn't send us to hell for that? Again, as we're going to see, if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are promised heaven. And you don't have to worry about any of these things that we're talking about today. He said, I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you who practice lawlessness. So here's a reality check for us today, church. Here's a reality check. And as a pastor, I'm sharing this again because I love you. Not everyone's going to heaven. Does that make your heart break this morning? To know that you may have family or you may have friends whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the bridegroom is delayed today so that we can help get them there. Hallelujah. The bridegroom is delaying the trumpet sounding because he wants us to give a chance to try to get more folks in to heaven. Not everyone's going to heaven. Not the self-serving, not the self-righteous. Those who practice lawlessness, the lazy aren't getting in. In Corinthians, I read this. Don't be deceived. Neither the fornicators, the idolaters, the adulterers, the homosexuals. It's naming them. I'm not making this up. This is the word of the Lord. Neither adulterers, homosexuals, or the sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor the drunkards, nor the revelers, nor the extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. A whole list there of things. So here's the question this morning. Who's really going to hell? Who's really going to hell? And oh, by the way, before I forget, go to hell. Now, why did I just tell you that? Because you're going to meet someone this week, and you're going to go, you know what? You're going to say to them, I had someone tell me to go to hell this week. What do you think that really means? You don't have to tell them as your pastor. But who's really going to go to hell? And oh, by the way, we understand this, that the Bible doesn't also use the word hell, but it also uses the word Hades. Now, Hades is another place of torment while you're waiting to go to hell. We understand that Hades is a place of torment also. We read in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 13, again, I told you I was just going to let the Word of God do the reading, read as I read it and let it speak. And the sea gave up the dead who are in it, and death and Hades were delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, again, the judgment seat of Christ, and each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast where? Into the lake of fire. And that's hell. Death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. And this is the second death. But for us sheep And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But those who are written in the book of life, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sheep and goats. That's what we have today. In Luke chapter 12, if you want to turn over, we'll close with this passage of scripture. Luke chapter 12, I'm going to start in verse 35. Because we're going to see something here today. Because Jesus is going to challenge the disciples. He's going to challenge some of the sheep. Jesus begins with this parable. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, and when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Everyone say watching. That's what we're doing. We're watching, we're waiting. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and shall come and serve them. Jesus himself is going to come and serve us. Isn't that amazing? Woo! And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so still waiting, happy are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour which you do not expect. And now Peter's going to ask the question, which I'm sure all of us would have asked, but I'm so glad Peter asked this. Lord, are you speaking this parable to us, the sheep, your disciples? Are you speaking this to everyone? Jesus is going to qualify and continue to let us know as sheep, we've got to be watching. We've got to be prepared. We can't be living our lives for ourselves. We can't be living our lives as casual Christians. Don't want to be a casual Christian, amen? Because casual Christians find themselves disinterested in kingdom things. Casual Christians find themselves slipping away from their church attendance. Casual Christians find themselves not reading the Word of God and getting their daily bread from heaven. And getting distracted easily from spiritual things. And so Jesus begins to then continue the story. Verse 42, and the Lord said to the disciples, to the sheep, who this parable was about, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed, happy is that servant whom his master finds so doing when he comes. For truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. That's your calling in life, church, to go to heaven and to rule and to reign with Jesus. To take care of things for the king, amen? But if that servant, and who's he talking to? Sheep. He's talking to the sheep. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk and just living the life up and party all the time, not having kingdom things on the front of his mind, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour he is not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. This is serious. This lets me know my heart is moved today afresh. Their portion will be for the ones that were supposed to be the unbelievers were supposed to get that. And Jesus said, listen, I will give them, here's what they will get. They'll get what the unbelievers were supposed to have got. And that servant who knew his master's will, again, what was the qualification we looked at earlier today? Those who do what? The will of their Father in heaven. Those are the sheep. That's how you know the sheep. You know the sheep by two things. You'll know that they're doing the master's will. And also, Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. The world will know us by our love. But it's doing the will of the Father. And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not prepare himself or do according to God's will be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, the unbeliever, they'll only get a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much is required. Wow. Come on, Marcus, come play for me this morning. One last scripture. See, sheep and goat. And apparently, there's going to be quite a few goats. We're praying in the sheep. We're working. But there are those, scripture says, that are just playing the church game. Just playing the church game. Before I forget, one of the books that really changed our hearts here at Living Waters Fellowship about 4 years ago, we went through this study, Driven by Eternity, by John Bevere. And I have an extra copy this morning. If you feel like you would like to get, I'm not saying everything John says in here is right, but I'm telling you what, he's really good. And he really, really challenged us as a church as we went through Driven by Eternity. So I'll leave this if somebody wants to take and use this and read some more about heaven and hell. We close this morning. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 because here's what I realize. We are in the last days. Hello, church. We're in the last days. I know they've been saying that for a long time. For 2,000 years, they thought they were in the last days, but I truly believe we're in the last of the last days. And our time is short. And that we've got to make the most of every day, of every month, of every year. We can't just sit back. That's why we're building. That's why we're adding onto, because we want to capture this generation. We want to have more room for kids and teenagers to ask Jesus into their heart and become sons and daughters of God. And Timothy said this, but know this, that in the last day, perilous times are come. And notice again this description of goats. This is the exact description of a goat. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, and here's what just jumped out at me more than anything, lovers of pleasure more than God. Having a form of godliness, because let me tell you what, a goat is about as close as you can get to a sheep without being a sheep. Having the form of godliness, but lacking the power. I'm telling you what this morning, as believers, we have great power. We have been given the Holy Spirit within us. Here's what Paul said. Listen, you wait, and on that day, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then you'll be able to be witnesses, and then you'll be able to have the mind of Christ and do the will of the Father. Stand with me this morning. Again, you know, as a pastor, these messages like this are, we want to hear the messages that make us feel good and ooey and gooey and tickle our ears, but I needed my heart to be challenged this week. I needed to understand again the seriousness of this thing. That if I'm called to be a sheep, if I'm called to be a child of God, I must be about my Father's business. I must be doing the will. Living Waters, we must be doing the will of our Father. I believe we're doing it. Don't get me wrong. I believe we're doing it. But are there some areas this morning I believe the Holy Spirit is challenging us? Father, we thank you this morning for the word. God, I thank you, that, Lord, that we don't have to worry about the torment of hell. We don't have to worry about all the things that are happening will happen to those in torment that will be beaten. But, Father, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, what will we say? How will we respond when you ask us what we did with what we've been given? Lord, we all want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, but what have we done with our gifts? What have we really done with our talents, with our monies, with our time? Those that you've placed around us. And I just want to take a moment and allow your heart to search. I don't know if this will make you feel uncomfortable this morning. I want to open the altars up as we sing before the Lord. We fall down and lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. I want to open the altars up this morning. And if you feel like the Holy Spirit is just encouraging you to spend a few moments to refocus. If you want to just turn around and kneel at your seat, that would be great. However you feel comfortable. And I want everyone to respond this morning. Pastor wants to respond to this message. I need to have my heart refocused. I want to make sure my motives are pure. I want to make sure all that we're doing is the Father's will, not my will. We fall down.